Good afternoon. How's everybody? Wow, we have a good PA system today. I'm surprised it's working. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because Teresa will kill me. Teresa's done a great job. So how's everybody doing today? My name is, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Louis Herrera, and I'm like an old fixture with the technology committee, still here. Not as long as Roger, but I'm here. Anyway, welcome. Technology has done some interesting things this year. A lot of stuff's come around. We've seen a lot of new devices come around. We've seen in the last year, we've seen the iPhone revolutionize technology, the introduction of touch technology that's accessible by blind folks. In addition, we've seen the new note takers from HumanWare and new products from HumanWare, including access to a device that's very common in industry and business today, the BlackBerry. So what I've done is I've contacted HumanWare. Ultimately got in contact with Damian Pickering to talk about some of these new products, the Intel Reader as well as the Apex, and the software for the BlackBerry to make it accessible. And that couldn't happen at a perfect time. I have a couple of people who have gone back to work for Sempra Utilities, and the communication tool of choice is the BlackBerry. So they'll be glad to know that they can have it, be able to get it for their own visually impaired customers, employees as well. So what I'm going to do is turn the microphone over to, well, before I do that, Roger, is there any announcements or anything? One more time? Oh, yes. Because of the new change and new, what is the word I'm looking for? Format. Thank you. I'm glad people got big words like that. We're ending at 3 o'clock today. So I'm going to let Damian Pickering talk to you guys about these new toys, and then later on, because of my extensive movement around and not having a chance to coordinate with people, I will get to demonstrate a tool called the Pen Friend, if those of you have probably heard of. Oh, well, you're so cool. I mean, how do you do that? That's right. Roger, Roger. Okay, so I'm going to turn the microphone over to Damian, and Damian will tell you how he wants to. It's his show for the next hour and a half or so, and then I'll take over and play. So, Damian.
Hello, everybody. I'm Damian Pickering, finishing off my first year at HumanWare. Actually, today is my one-year anniversary of coming to work for HumanWare, representing the blindness products in California, Oregon, Washington. They throw Alaska in there just to make things interesting. It's certainly a pleasure and an honor to speak before the committee. I like to attend in the audience whenever I can, so I was very glad to get the call from Louis. It has been quite a year. A lot of new products, new developments on existing products. For me, there's a lot of new products to learn at HumanWare, so they've definitely kept me on my toes. I would encourage, I think, you know, to really get hands-on on these things. I'm going to be joined by my colleague, Gabe Griffith, who many of you know, active CCB member, and HumanWare tech support par excellence is working this exhibit with me. So we'll be here all day tomorrow and Saturday, and we'll have the BlackBerry Curve 8520 with Oratio to get everybody hands-on who is interested in that. For those of you who have not had a chance to get their hands on the new BrailleNote Apex, we'd love to have you come by and check out the thinnest, lightest note taker on the market right now that I'm aware of, anyway. That's been a really nice new thing. As Louis mentioned, another one of our new products in the lineup is the Intel Reader. And, you know, it's been, you know, I definitely, you know, have my ear to the grindstone and have heard a lot of the buzz out there, you know, both critical and positive. I would, in my view, I kind of position the Intel Reader as something that's kind of between the kind of the older standalone reading machines like a Sera or a Scanr or one of those things, something that you leave in one place and do your scanning, and something that's you know, ultra portable like the KNFB Reader Mobile. The Intel Reader allows kind of the, well, I would say kind of, you know, the best of both. You have the portability, you know, to carry a device with you to do kind of quick and dirty scanning, you know, sort through a stack of mail, maybe read a room service menu in your hotel room, something like that. Or, I mean, and that's basically what I use the KNFB Reader Mobile for. I mean, I do personally have one of those. But when it comes to documents that I want to save, to have a, you know, higher accuracy rate, something that I might want to refer to later, maybe a manual or a lengthy document or a chapter from a book or something like that, the Intel Reader offers what they call the capture station, which is more of a, you would set up this reading table that has an arm with a cradle that holds the camera in exactly the right position. So then you know that any document or book that you place in the surface of the reading area, and you kind of just line it up against one of the edges, you know that your shot will be perfectly lined up. And then you can just, you know, keep clicking pictures, just picture after picture, and turn the page, click, turn the page, click, and you can scan in a large volume of material. So that's why, you know, I've found that, you know, that seems to be kind of the best of both worlds product. Now, does anybody in the room have a BrailleNote Apex at this point? Excellent. Good. So, I mean, some things that I can say about that. The Apex is all new hardware. New operating system, more memory, faster processor speed, all in a beautifully designed new shell or housing. It is Windows Mobile 6. So you've got, you know, all new kind of technology, you know, smaller but faster, stronger, all of that. You know, we can talk specifics about that, but the beauty of it is the KeySoft interface. You know, people want to talk a lot about well, you know, when you compare it to the M-Power, well, does the Apex do, you know, and you start coming out with your list. Well, the original, the goal of the Apex release, Keysoft 9 on the Apex, was that it would be virtually identical to Keysoft 8 on the M-Power. So all the commands, you know, all the menu structures, I mean, everything that you would be familiar with on the M-Power, it would be basically the same thing on the Apex. Once you know, that goal was achieved, which I say by and large, you know, it was a very successful product launch, and that goal was met. Now that we have a complete redesign of Keysoft on the new hardware, this is what really opens the gate for future development on the Braille Note line. Now, there will be, I think there's a commitment of two more SMA releases on the M-Power line. So there will be some, you know, some new things. But by and large, the technology on the M-Power, I mean, that goes back to 2005. It was older technology. The developers have pushed that about as far as they can go, and they were having the experience of they add something new or, you know, try to work on the improved word support, and they would break something. So it was like, okay, we really need to give ourselves, you know, some new resources, literally, to work with. And so that has been done. There is a, you know, a definite commitment that the improved word support will be delivered in a free SMA count on the Apex. And so that will be in the, you know, the not distant future. All of that said, I mean, there are some distinct differences on the Apex line. You do have 8 gigabytes of onboard memory, 256 megahertz processor. The Windows Mobile 6 operating system has improved memory and you know, power management kind of built into it. You have built-in wireless, B and G, and Bluetooth 2.1 all on board with the Apex. So all of those things, I mean, basically that, what for lack of better term, I would call increased horsepower, provides for a better user experience in terms of you know, internet, downloading large files, things like that. You know, connections, connect a little quicker, you know, less issues of, you know, units locking up, you know, when you're working with large files, things like that. So yeah, there's definitely already some you know, improved user experience on that. You know, not to mention just you know, people's chiropractor bills are less because you have, you know, less weight to carry around with you. The weight I know is 1.8 pounds. The thickness is, I want to say, 0.9 inches, which is, I think, pretty much identical to the thickness of a Victor Stream. So if you're familiar with that, I mean, that's the thickness that you're looking at. You know, in the announcements, we talked about it being the same as a number one size envelope. There were actually some people, you know, out there who kind of got that off the list and, you know, Googled that and found out the exact dimensions and were, you know, really trying to speculate at what the, you know, the new release was going to be. Please do come by the booth. I, you know, in addition to having actual Apex units there that you can look at, we have both the QWERTY and the Braille model. We have some really nicely done cardboard cutouts that show the exact footprint, and then the controls are in tactile relief on the the cutout. So it's a good little promotion piece to kind of get a real sense of the size and what you'll be looking at. One of the, I think, benefits to having this thin, lightweight device is that there's an ongoing debate that I'm sure everyone in this room is participated in to one degree or another, and that's, do you go dedicated note taker with Braille, all of that kind of custom environment, ease of operation, or do you go off the shelf laptop with some kind of sleek little Braille display? The Apex is of a size and weight now that I'm noticing people who are shopping Braille displays to go with their little netbook, for example, or regular laptop, they're kind of looking at the BrailleNote Apex, as a Braille display option. I mean, we all know that the M-Powers you can use as a Braille display, but because they're a little bit bulkier, it's not a preferred choice. It's sort of a backup of necessity, something that you can do in a pinch, but not necessarily your ideal. But now you've got this device that is lightweight, that you can carry around, and so when you're looking at the Braille displays, you start to factor in, I could have this Braille display that has all this extra note taker functionality built in, word processor, built in wireless, scientific calculator, media player, all of those things, and then you kind of have the best of both worlds. And if you're carrying one of these cute little HP netbooks, for example, and an Apex, you can use, either note-taker environment laptop or laptop with Braille, and you're, basically still carrying less weight than some, actual laptops that are out there. So I am seeing people kind of make that choice and go that direction. One other important feature, because this was the Apex, I should really say, I mean, many of you maybe participated in this, but back in 2005 when the M-Power came out, I remember this because I was working for another company at the time, and I was following, all the hype and excitement of the M-Power release. But the folks at HumanWare did a series of focus groups and were really asking people questions about what technology do you use, how do you use technology, what improvements would you like to see. And literally the feedback from those sessions were the foundation that launched the Apex development process. One of the key things, along with smaller, lighter, those types of things that are obvious. I mean, we all carry a lot of stuff around with us. We like to, to have our, self-sufficiency. But user-replaceable battery was a big one, and they definitely delivered there. One thing, I do, need to make note of, the Apex has less battery life than the M-Power. You're looking at, basically 10 hours, give or take, depending on exactly what you're doing. If you're leaving wireless and Bluetooth on at all the times, running, speech and Braille, you're going to get, less than if you, go into shutting off Bluetooth if you don't need it, those kinds of things. But basically, you're going to get a full day's worth of work out of it. And then, like with your cell phone or smartphone, what have you, you would just get in the habit of throwing it on the charger every night. And you should be fine. Of course, spare batteries are $50, and since you don't have to buy a wireless card anymore, you can carry a spare, and you know then that you know then you have more battery life with you than you did with the M-Power. So some people do go that route, and certainly if there are any battery issues, which there haven't been so far, but if there were, you know, you don't need to send your unit in to get a battery replacement. You know, you could order a new battery and it could be there in, you know, a couple days and you're back up and running. So that's a little bit of bulletproofing, I think, that they did. Overall, I mean, there's fewer working parts, I mean, moving parts, I should say, in the Apex. More, you know, modern solid-state technology. So, you know, we never want to drop our, you know, $6,000 pieces of equipment on the floor. But, you know, if that happens, and it happens from time to time, you know, the Apex is just a lot more durable of a piece of equipment than the M-Power. I think that that's, you know, more an issue in schools with younger students, things like that. Teachers are, you know, respond very well to that message. They're glad to hear that one. Other things that, you know, just, I mean, when you put an Apex in people's hands, I mean, 8-9 times out of 10, the first thing people say is "Wow." So, you know, I you know, from my perspective, you know, I say, yeah, I've got a product that has wow factor. It feels good. I mean, it feels like a modern design. I mean, that kind of fits into that netbook genre very nicely. You know, we've gotten rid of the, you know, the old lime green colors, you know, of the classics and things like that. You know, it's a kind of black and silver, kind of very modern looking device. Other things that they did, though, in that design, I mean, I think that they were really thinking about what kinds of issues were bringing people's units in for repair. And we've gotten rid of the compact flash card slots. I mean, those cards are, you know, rapidly going away. You have three USB slots and an SD card, high-capacity SD card slot. the Apex will support a 32-gigabyte card. And the card slots and the USB ports themselves are just, you know, when you put a card or a USB drive in, I mean, there's just one way that they fit in, and they just connect, you know, really nicely. It's just a nice, easy, solid connection. I think the, you know, those compact flash slots, a lot of times people would, you know, not get the card seated exactly right. I mean, there was just more fumbling to get it in there. And then you might bend some pins. I mean, those were unfortunate issues that required repair. So, you know, there again, you know, less reasons for these units to, you know, to go into the shop. I mean, some other little things. I mean, how many people are familiar with the, you know, the process of updating, you know, doing Keysoft updates and whatnot on the M-Powers? You know, you had some limitations. You had to have a 512 meg card or less in order to do the upgrade. And those were becoming harder and harder to come by. And if you could find them, you had to pay more for one of those cards than you would for a higher capacity card. So people, you know, didn't like that, and, you know, understandably. Now you can put an update on, you know, any SD card, 32 gigs or less, or any thumb drive for that matter, with the 8 gigabytes of onboard memory, you can download and upgrade onto the internal memory of the unit itself and install it that way. So there's some nice streamlining there. A couple other things. The add-ons like the Dictionary and Thesaurus, the Nemeth tutorial, and the Sendero GPS product all come basically pre-installed on the Apex, so that if you want to purchase that, you just get an authorization code that unlocks it, so you don't need to install it after the fact. I mean, there's actually a 90-day Sendero GPS trial that comes, so more people can try that out. Take the GPS for a spin. So that's a very nice thing. All of the the keys. Thumb keys, braille keys, the keycaps on the QWERTY, they're lower profile, but still with a nice feel to them. The braille version has a new navigation element called the scroll wheel. That's a little round wheel that kind of has spokes on it. It's located above the space bar, and this is shown on the cutouts that I was talking about. But this is additional to the thumb keys and all your space and backspace and hotkey navigation that you'd be familiar with. A little something for the busy fingers of the iPod generation. If you spin the wheel clockwise, that moves you forward or down, through menus or documents. Spin it counterclockwise, obviously the reverse, left, up. If you press down on the very center of the wheel, that's like hitting enter or selecting something. And then there are points around the perimeter of the little dial or wheel at 12, 3, 6, and 9. And those have their own functions, exit or escape, top of document, bottom of document, basically a home command or an end command, or a context-sensitive help key, just like, getting your help for right where you are. The wheel can be shut off if you just want to ignore it or think it's a little just distracting or just silly. I've found that it is kind of nice to be able to be reading through a large document. You can have one hand on the braille display and then just, quickly spin the dial with your other one to quickly, move through. That's kind of nice. It's also nice for anybody who needs the one-handed mode that has traditionally been there on the braille note and continues with the Apex. You can have full navigational control with one finger, on either hand. Much less one hand. So, that gives some ergonomic advantage, I think. So, it's a nice element. It is not present on the QWERTY keyboard because the QWERTY keys take up, most of that surface area. So that is unique to the Apex. Any questions on kind of this overview so far? I don't. I didn't have time to unpack my bags. I basically got here just in time to get into the meeting room here. But like I said, we'll be here all day Friday and Saturday, and we have Gabe brought at least one with him, and I have two. So we have we can have a crowd, and more than one person at a time will get their hands-on experience. So please do come by. Yep.
Danny and Ron here. Can you partition magic on an SD card and slide it down to a 5 volt? Is that
I guess I'm not sure if you could. I mean, is there a particular task or application that you would want to do? Uh-huh. I see what you're saying. Kind of a workaround for the M-Power. You know, I don't know. We'll talk to Gabe. You know, he's the tech support guy. So, you know, I'll keep a list of the tough questions for him. He's not here, so.
I have a policy question. HumanWare has a loan program for college students, a well-known loan program. Is the Apex going to be part of that?
You know, I imagine at some point, I mean, I'm not aware of an official loan program per se. You know, those of us in the, you know, in the field, in sales, you know, we do have a few demo units typically. And so, I mean, those kinds of requests typically come directly to someone like myself or Kevin Hughes or, you know, our counterparts around the country, and then we do try to, you know, to keep, you know, our units rather than, you know, sitting, you know, on our shelf waiting for a training to come up. You know, we will work with students and, you know, people who get into critical situations like that. Now, you know, supposedly at some point, you know, we are all going to have, you know, a number of Apex units that, you know, again, we'll be doing, conducting trainings and, you know, we'll be using them in the same way. But, you know, these things have just been flying off the shelves and we've, you know, sold, you know, probably twice as many as we forecast for the, you know, the initial product launch. So we just don't have the depth of, you know, inventory to really be able to, you know, to have those out there the way that we traditionally have the M-Powers and classic units. So, I mean, the long answer is yes, eventually, you know, we'll be, you know, making those available as well. Yes, at this point, the Apex, it is available in both Braille and QWERTY, but it is only available in the 32-cell model. Now, you know, I don't know, I mean, I can't give any kind of dates or whatever, but, you know, the official presentations about Apex on the product launch said more surprises in 2010. So I think, you know, you can safely assume that eventually there will be, you know, 18-cell and voice note versions of the Apex. I just don't know when exactly that's going to happen. You have to have your Sendero GPS at the latest version, and then once you've done that, it, you know, if you upgrade or trade in an M-Power to an Apex, there is trade-in credit for older units. The transfer of your programs like GPS or dictionaries are free going from the old unit to the new unit. Right, you have to upgrade it. You know, if you have an older GPS, like, you know, a 5-point something, you would upgrade it to what I think the current one is 6.2, and then the transfer would be free from the old unit to the new unit. On M-Powers, a 32-cell. You get $2,200 credit. An 18-cell is $1,400, and a QWERTY or Braille keyboard. You know, it's the size of the Braille display, you know, that matters. voice note, I would have to double check what the credit. It's, you know, something more like maybe 800. I'm confident of the 32 and the 18 cell versions, 22 and 14. It is the same as the 32 version of the M-Power. So the retail, the list on that is $61.95.
Damien, here's a question that I was posed to me, and I had no answer, and I'm pretty sure you do. What about document formatting? In other words, can KeySoft support or generate a Microsoft output doc file that can be transferred without any special massaging of any kind to make it fully transferable?
Well, again, the Word support on the Apex is, at this point, is identical to the Word support on the M-Power. So the limitations that were on the M-Power are currently on the Apex. But that's, when I talked about the improved Word support that is promised for the first major KeySoft upgrade on the Apex, which, they're working on it fast and furious right now. That's where, the .doc format will be supported, presumably. So, we know that that's, one of the top priorities out there. And so that one's definitely, being worked on as we speak.
How about merging the calendars with the Outlook calendar and schedule?
There's probably right, the close second is that, that syncing of the Outlook calendars. It's also happening.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think I believe that they've kind of cleared the backlog as of the end of March. So, right now you should be kind of looking at the standard, 1 to 2 weeks. I mean, they shipped out a lot of product in the end of March.
Will it be made like a flash drive to computer? Will they have to use that synchronization software? I don't have a mail note, but had to use that synchronization software.
Yeah, still, you're still using, synchronization, if you connect the two together. But, it works really nicely to, to just transfer stuff back and forth with a, an actual flash drive, just kind of move it from one, computer to Apex and back. Any other Apex questions? I would say so. Without knowing specific things, that's part of where I think the extra memory and processor speed, really helps quite a bit. I'm not hearing a lot of, horror stories at this point.
How long is this process?
Started shipping in November. Yeah, And as I said, I think, many of you here know that I've represented other companies in this industry. So I've been through new product releases, a number of times. This is not my first rodeo, as one of my former bosses used to be fond of saying. There were a lot of people, kind of for the last year saying, well, when are you guys coming out with a new thing? You have to, when's it going to happen? Well, they really you know, took their time to really have a pretty solid release. And, you know, there's always little things. I mean, we just had a there is a Keysoft 9.01 release that, you know, it's a free kind of maintenance release that was released on April 7th. So for the gentleman who has the Apex, if you're not aware of that, you should go get that and download it. But, yeah, I mean, just remarkable. I mean, there were no – I mean, I think when the M-Powers came out, there were some pretty serious battery issues in the first, you know, 6 to 12 months. You know, there's nothing like that has happened. I mean, it's been a very solid, you know, solid, you know, out-of-the-gates performance.
Cool.
Yeah. So again, I think, you know, there's only so much we can do in Q&A. Come by the booth for hands-on. I mean, I'd love to, you know, talk to you more on an individual level and all of that. Yes?
I have one question. I have tried to use the rail mode as a terminal, but the problem is that I can't see anything. I can
I think that they're working on, you know, some, you know, being able to, like, you know, copy stuff to the clipboard, you know, on one side and, you know, then bring it over to the other. But I'm not, you know, I don't think that that full functionality is developed yet. Yeah.
I need to have something not dedicated. I need to be able to pop into my rail mode and look at something and be able to write an answer so I can do it.
Okay. I'll have to kind of research, you know, exactly what the, you know, kind of the state of development on that is. Also, I mean, the BrailleNote Apex, along with our other display lines, the Brailliant and the Braille Connect lines, we do have drivers for JAWS 32-bit already available. The 64-bit version drivers are close to, you know, they're in the testing phase. So, again, I don't have an exact date, but I'm guessing, you know, weeks rather than months. So that's some good news. Let me just finish this thought, and then I'll take that question. WindowEyes support, you do have a little bit more functionality, you know, just out of the box with WindowEyes than you do with JAWS. You know, depending on what you're, you know, trying to do, I mean, we are working on, you know, increasing the functionality of the Apex as a Braille display, given that this kind of seems like a new market segment for us. So I think you will see more, you know, and I'll definitely take that feedback, you know, to directly to the product managers about that. Good question.
I'm not sure if this would solve Christy's problem or not, but if the Apex can sync with the computer, then if you plug it in and sync it before you turn it into a terminal, your contact or whatever you're trying to access is available on your computer instead. I would do that.
Well, it's not just the contact information.
Yeah, I have a file with them. It would be something you'd have to read it. You'd have to sync it first and later.
Yeah, but I mean, I know what, you know, ideally what she wants to do, and so, you know, again, I mean, I consider it an important part of my role, you know, in the field sales team of HumanWare, is to really, you know, be a information link between, you know, the engineers, the product management level, and, you know, with what people are, you know, what actually doing, you know, on the job and in the classroom and, you know, out and about. So you know, I know that they're taking that seriously and really looking at how to increase, you know, Braille display functionality of the Apex. So I'll definitely pass that on.
Damien, question. I had worked with a fellow who is deafblind, and I was very impressed with the way that the Apex, I tied a Braille sensor in Apex to a Mac to be able to communicate back and forth using the Braille displays.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out real cool. And I noticed that HumanWare has a communicator which works with a cell phone. Is there a plan to make that communicator also work with the Apex so that somebody like myself or somebody like Christy or somebody who works with other people who may end up having to work with a deafblind person and you have to have Braille, two-way Braille communication be available? Is that something that could be in the works?
I guess I have to be careful how I answer that.
I know.
I can tell you that you're not going to see anything like that before the end of 2011. Remember the DBC or Deafblind Communicator, which is a communication package that runs on the MPower platform and allows a deafblind person to make TTY calls, make and receive TTY calls, and have face-to-face communication. The spec that we responded to and developed for and basically the contract that we have with Washington State in bringing that product to market required that there be a built-in modem for connecting to phone lines, not an external modem. So, you know, this, you know, the MPower is basically going to be the DBC platform through, you know, through late 2011. You know, there's a lot of, a number of deafblind users are, you know, choosing Apex anyway, you know, because it does have the built-in wireless, you know, because they're more focused on internet things, you know, basically the Apex as a note taker more so than, you know, the DBC component. But, I mean, I you know, sort of unofficially, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I think it's a matter of, you know, maybe the, you know, people kind of relax the, you know, the requirements. I mean, if you have a very convenient, small external modem or, you know, some workarounds, yeah, I mean, once we're through that, you know, initial contractual obligation, you know, the Apex is the platform that we want to really work with going forward. I mean, it's the developers have so much more to work with there. Other questions?
Can you talk about the BlackBerry now?
Yeah, let me, before we, I mean, let me say, you know, BlackBerries are kind of dessert in a way, you know, when you think. Before I hit that, just I want to make sure that people are aware of a couple, you know, the latest developments on the Victor stream. So just so people are aware, there was the latest firmware build on that is 3.1. Again, it's free. It's available for download now, so anybody with a stream can update to that. You know, there's a, you know, kind of a list of what's new there, but more or less, you're able to connect a USB thumb drive to the stream, and you can play Daisy Books off of, you know, folders on those thumb drives. And if you like, you can quickly copy with the number 3 key on the stream that will automatically copy your Daisy files from the thumb drive onto the Victor stream. I mean, that was sort of a follow-up to the library edition, which this has been out for a while, but just to make sure that people are aware of this, The Victor Stream Library Edition. It's the same hardware, it's the same stream, but it comes with a little cartridge holder that snaps onto the back of the stream, and that accommodates the new book cartridges from the NLS, the National Talking Book Library format. So there are a lot of people. I think we did our research, and there's about 500,000 people that are registered patrons of the NLS. Most of those people are not computer users. So, yes, it's wonderful that you've got BARD. You can download books, from the NLS site. I mean, that's great for those of us that are computer users. The stream was really designed for the computer generation. But what we're doing more and more things to really open up the stream as a easy to use, beautiful user interface, portable media player and recorder for non-computer users. I mean, that is really where the growth market is for the Victor Stream. So again, people can get those book cartridges, slap them right onto the stream, play them directly, hit the 3-key, copy that over. Okay, then you can, if you are working with a thumb drive, you can connect that to the stream, play your media from there. The latest edition is a CD drive, a little CD-ROM drive that we've modified so that you can take your Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic DAISY content on CD and play that on the stream and quickly copy that over. So, I mean, these are kind of specialized applications. I mean, more like students that are, have been working with CDs or, comfortable with that format. Those are all things that are available. They're available as packages, with a brand new stream, or as add-ons, just the component pieces to people who already have streams. So again, I want everyone to be aware of that. By itself, I think it's $129. If you got the CD edition of the stream, it's $449, so $100 more than the standard, basic stream.
Question. In the back is a question. Go ahead.
The cartridge holder is basically $60, $59.95. It's basically the same size as the stream, top to bottom. I mean, it just snaps right onto the back of the stream. So it kind of makes the stream like a double stuff Oreo cookie, It's like, Right.
So don't buy it if you don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, when people say, well, why should I, buy that, $60 for a piece of plastic? Well, it's a convenience item. It's really for people who insist on, they don't want to leave their cassettes, they want to do these cartridges, it's just a kind of a philosophical principle or something. But those cartridges basically are USB drives that are packaged in a larger housing, I think for a couple of reasons. One, so that it looks a little bit more like a cassette, so it makes that transition easier for some people. But also it gives you the surface area to put print and braille labels on there. So just all in all, it's going to be a lot easier to keep track of, a book on a cartridge, than, a bunch of cassettes or, little USB drives. I mean, imagine if, you... Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things that we tried to book there is when some of the larger books won't play on the screen because of the size limitations. Any idea if you're looking into that as
that is I mean, is it a memory, a capacity issue?
Yeah, it's not in terms of fitting on the SD card. It's in terms of the
Well, you know, I don't have an answer, but I will kind of follow up with you, you know, on that particular issue. And as you know, because I just talked to you, I just got my personal Bookshare membership. So, you know, this is I've been a, you know, a diehard Audible fan, and I mean, you know, I have done Audible books, you know, every month, and I've loved that on the stream. But personally, I mean, I've been doing things like converting manuals of products to text files and putting those on the stream, and then using highlight bookmarks and things like that, and really, you know, kind of using the text to speech more. And I mean, I just suddenly, like, I just realized, you know, there's this whole, you know, world of content that's available out there that I haven't been taking advantage of. So I'll be following up with you on that as well, I'm sure, Rob. So ah, yeah, good. Good point.
Well, basically what you do is you go into the go to menu and you can search.
So one other, you know, kind of new product thing before we get to the BlackBerry. We're close enough to a new release of the Trekker Breeze handheld portable GPS that, you know, I think I can kind of lift the lid off the cookie jar a little bit for a peek. I personally, I mean, I love the Sendero BrailleNote GPS. I mean, I think it's the best GPS out there, and it rivals, I mean, what sighted people have available to them in their cars. So, you know, I just want to, you know, preface everything I say about the Breeze with that statement. But I really love the Trekker Breeze for its convenience, portability. I mean, I find that 80% of the time, whatever GPS I've been using, I mean, what I want is just that kind of immediate feedback of, am I where I think I am? You know, so that kind of where am I button. I mean, I used to, in years past, fantasize that there would be, you know, one little box with one button on it that I could carry in my hand, and when I pressed that button, it would tell me, you know, where I am. And, you know, and so many ways. I mean, that when the Trekker Breeze came out, you know, again, I was with another company, and I was like, man, there's that product I wanted, you know. So there are, you know, some limitations, so it's not for everybody. I mean, if you really want to, you know, you travel a lot, you go to places that, you know, you haven't been before, maybe places that you're only going to be to, you know, go to once, the Trekker Breeze may not be the ideal product. I mean, it's, you know, it's for people who just like that immediate, you know, turn it on, get some immediate feedback, you know, not much learning curve, all of that. But, you know, again, there's been a lot of user requests and things like that. So one of the the new things that I'll share that are, you know, going to be available very shortly, is you can now search points of interest by category in a 5-mile radius and create a route to that point that you find. So I think that's going to, you know, really, you know, add a lot to, you know, to people who currently have the breeze, and it's going to make people who, you know, sort of been on the fence about it, I think that'll be, you know, a thing that's going to tip, you know, some people in that direction.
Damien, you know, for people who have used the Trekker Breeze, and I have a great number of people that I work with who have gotten the breeze, and the greatest complaint has always been the GPS receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a modification to the hardware done where they're using a better receiver chip, or how is the software's modification sound awesome, but mm-hmm. has there been any hardware modification to the actual unit?
I think that they are using a different board currently than they did in the very beginning. I mean, I have heard that feedback before. I'm hearing less of it now. So, I mean, that may be something that we could look into, you know, on kind of a case-by-case basis. If somebody has a breeze and, you know, they feel that it's, you know, having those issues, I may be able to, like, run a serial number and find something out internally for you. So, again, you know, get my card, stay in touch with me, and we'll kind of run those things to ground, because I think, you know, they've continued to improve the product, and I don't know specifics about receiver chips, you know, right off the top of my head, but if you've got a unit, or you know somebody who has one that's their experience, you know,
I'll
like
have
to
a mobility instructor get in contact with you.
Yeah, please do. I am Damien Pickering. You can reach me by email at damian.pickering, PICKERING, at humanware.com. My extension is 219 at the 800 number, 800-722-3393. That's the HumanWare main number, 219.
Oh. Can I ask one more question about this dream?
Yes.
I had heard a rumor that there was going to be another edition of the dream which would allow a person to search its content for it, besides Audible. I mean, like the way inside you could buy things for this.
I don't know. I mean, I can't confirm or deny it.
I know that, read how you want. I took this great program about several things. But okay, thank you.
Sure.
Profile left parenthesis, normal right parenthesis. Roll track all or track to down to move to the application shortcut list. Messages. One of contact. Two of six icons. Calendar. Three of six icons. SMS and MMS. Four of six icons.
There we go.
Options. Five of six icons. MEGNS. Six of six icons.
Okay, so that is the sound, the voice of the Oratio for BlackBerry. Yeah, I mean, you can speed it up and slow it down and change the pitch a little bit. Similar to, I mean, I should say, for those of you who don't know, I mean, there's so many different phones and operating systems and things out there. I mean, we've had Talks and Mobile Speak available for Symbian operating system phones and Windows Mobile phones for some time. I mean, I would say they're roughly equivalent products. HumanWare actually, you know, sells Mobile Speak. I personally was a Talks user, you know, when I came. So I mean, that's personally what I have. I mean, I find them to be, I mean, whatever you have, I mean, they more or less do similar things, pretty equivalent. As Louis said, I mean, the issue with, I mean, of course, you have your iPhones and things like that that have accessibility built in, voiceover, touch screen, access. So that's kind of a whole different paradigm. Personally, I did get an iPod Touch last year, which I guess is, it's basically the iPhone without the phone part. Actually, when it shuts off, it says, iPhone shutting down. I guess I'm willing to wrestle with that paradigm shift, to learn the touchscreen interface. I mean, I'm getting there. I'm willing to do it for fun, for my music. But I guess I'm old school enough that I want my phone to be a phone, and I want my, my iPod to be an iPod, and I don't want to, have the phone ring, right in the middle of my song and figure out how do I answer the call. I mean, I leave that to Peter Contasani. He's the man. He's got all the Apple stuff. If you want to go that route, talk to him. He's here at the conference. There you are, Peter. Yes, and the iPad. I don't know what it does, but it feels absolutely fabulous. So yeah, talk to Peter about that. But the BlackBerry, okay, and as Louis said, there's a lot of government, departments, private sector companies that use the BlackBerry smartphones for their internal communications. Law firms, all of their people will have that. The BlackBerry has really been known for their security. There are certain companies that they're not allowed to to send texts or emails or whatever unless they're using their BlackBerries because of those security requirements, confidentiality. They've also been known for their speed, their connectivity. There are blind people out there who are working for these companies. They haven't had an option. Some of them have, come up with, some kind of, workaround or hybrids or whatever. But, it's been a problem. So I think, it's for that segment of people, the people who are in those employment environments where everyone else is using a BlackBerry. Well, now, they have, a ticket to the party as well. I literally just got this in my hands, a day ago. So I've seen it at the shows and kind of had my demos, people demo it for me. So right now I now have one. I'm going through the user guide. Currently the phone that Horatio works with is called the Curve 8520, but the only carrier that's supporting Horatio right now is AT&T. Now we're working on adding phones and adding carriers. So, for example, Verizon does have a Curve 8520, but there's a line of code that they haven't added into their system to support the hooks that the Horatio program needs. But those things will be changing. Yeah, we're working on them. So I should say, and probably I'll repeat this a number of times, but there is a website or a web page for Horatio. You can go to humanware.com/Horatio, Horatio. You have an opportunity to sign up for an Horatio newswire where you'll get kind of a weekly update. It's basically not like a list because, there's not all the traffic every day. It's just like a message goes out when there's news. So you can sign up for the newswire there. I mean, there's the user guide, frequently asked questions, you know, lots of, you know, kind of descriptive, you know, here's BlackBerry and, you know, it's, you know, award-winning trademark, blah, 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 you know, software. But you know, to me, I mean, that's the, you know, it's, if you've used a cell phone with a screen reader, the concept is the same. You know, it's just, this is the only one that's going to work on the BlackBerry platform. You know, I found that both Talks and Mobile Speak have become much more responsive. I mean, you know, in the older days, I mean, I don't know how many years, you know, at least, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years I've had Talks. You know, it was a lot more sluggish, and, you know, the phones would lock up a lot and things like that in the old days. I mean, that's much, much better. You know, something like, you know, the Nokia N82, you know, with a current version of Talks is pretty, you know, pretty snappy. But, I mean, I do seem to notice that the Oratio on the BlackBerry phone is, you know, very responsive. I mean, there's really no delay. It is a QWERTY phone, so you have a, you know, a nice small little, you know, QWERTY keyboard. The keys are pretty close together, but they are fairly distinct. And so as far as that goes, I mean, I think it's something people could get used to. Along the bottom of the screen, above the QWERTY keyboard, there are five kind of elements or controls. Going left to right, there's the send button, you know, which would be like answering a call or whatever you'd be used to. Next to that, menu. Then right in the middle, there's a trackball, which is kind of just a small little area where you literally just swipe your finger right, left, up, down, and, you know, you move through menus that way, and, you know, and icons on the screen. That, you know, ball is set, you know, pretty sensitive, so it really just takes a, you know, real kind of slight movement, and you know, that will move you one item. But like, say if it says home screen, let's see if I can get it. Home screen, you know, like it'll say one of six, you know, a horizontal list or whatever. You know, you can, if you do a, you know, a broad movement, I mean, that'll move you all the way to the right. So just, you know, kind of getting the feel for it, you know, you can move either, you know, just one item, or you can kind of cover a lot of ground. So like some of the menus will have like 20, you know, 20 plus items. But I, you know, I find you can, you know, pretty quickly navigate around, and there are like little shortcut keys and things like that that you know, that I'm still learning as we go. But I think it's going to be a, you know, a pretty good experience here. And then there also is a
key describer on.
Key describer mode. So you've got what they call convenience keys that are sort of similar to your Talks key or your, you know, your modifier key. So if you press the convenience key and then, you know, the things on the QWERTY keyboard, that's where you get your, you know, things like changing the keyboard echo, or, you know, raising and lowering the volume, speeding up and, you know, the and lowering the pitch, and, you know, all of those types of things. The price of Oratio is $449, so it's a little more than you know, than the Talks or the Mobile Speak. There are kind of installation instructions that are also on that humanware.com/Oratio page. So, I mean, it's something that I think, you know, somebody could do themselves, but like the other ones, you know, you're probably well served if you work with someone like you know, Peter or somebody who's really good at the phone stuff, just to get it all up and running for you? I don't. I just know it's a work in progress. You know, that's the only voice I've heard so far, but I mean again, this is a relatively new product release, and I know that accessibility is, you know, a big concern to all of the, you know, the members of the partnership, HumanWare, you know, Research in Motion and Code Factory. So I'll pass that on, and you know, I'm not aware that there's another voice option at this point, but I might be wrong. So I'll follow up with you, Roger, on that. Did I? Okay. Then there's back and end. So like, you know, end call or cancel an operation. You know, back just kind of moves you back one level. Like if you go into a menu and then you want to, you know, go back to the home screen or whatever. So it goes left to right, send, menu, trackball, back, and end. And then there's actual physical up and down volume keys on the right edge. So sort of, toward the bottom of the screen, but on the sides, there's a left convenience key and a right convenience key, which those are kind of your modifier keys. Functionally, yes, but, there are actual physical controls that you can kind of feel sticking out of the side of the phone itself. Along the very top edge, there are some, like, you know, media player controls. I think, you know, notwithstanding my little personal sort of comment about phones being phones and, you know, iPods being iPods or whatever, I mean, you can play music on a BlackBerry. So there are some, you know, media player controls that are kind of like soft keys along the very top edge that I haven't figured out how to use yet. I am not 100% sure of that. So we'll put that one on Gabe's plate at tech support. Yeah. So, I mean, they say that it supports all the core applications of BlackBerry. So I'm sure there are, you know, some third-party applications that are not supported or maybe only partially. But they do have an API kind of available, kind of a developer kit that, so that they're encouraging accessibility on those third-party things. So email, yes. Text messaging, yes. All the phone stuff, caller ID, speed dialing, access to the call logs, those things. What they say at this point is limited browsing with the first release, and that will be improved upon.
On the call, or are they in the non-display?
You know, I haven't really used it on a call yet, because again, I just got this yesterday, so I have to defer that one for the moment. But you know, follow up with me, you know, in an email. You know, I can either repeat that again at the end, or you can get one of my cards, and I'll make sure you know. We also do have cutouts of this. So, you know, if you come by the booth to take a look at the phones themselves, I can, you know, give you just like the Apex cutouts where the controls are shown. It's a, you know, a little cardboard, you know, kind of piece that's the size and shape of the BlackBerry, and then has the little raised, you know, you can sort of feel the QWERTY keyboard and, you know, where the screen is. It's kind of a nice little thing. So I have those to hand to people.
Nice.
Yes. You know, I don't know what carriers will be. Do they support smartphones? Does anybody know? Yeah. Right.
All they do is very cheap service. That is all.
You pay for what you get.
Yeah.
Good. Any other questions for Mr. Pickering here? Damien, it's been wonderful. You've done a great job. I've learned that I need to get a Braille Note Apex. Do you guys take trade-ins now?
Yeah, we
Can
do.
Can I trade in my old Beetle Volkswagen in my Braille Sense?
You know, we'll talk. You know, meet me in the bar later, and we'll see what we both walk away with.
There you go.
Hey,
Ron,
thanks. Thank you, everybody.
So we can trade. Thanks, Mr. Pickering. And guys, definitely go check out the booth. Get familiar with the equipment. I'm a firm believer that you'll get the most out of it if you go try it out and put it through its paces before you buy it, because you can hear everybody's positives and whatever, but remember, they're not buying it. You're buying it. And if you're the one who's buying it and you don't understand what it is that you're dealing with, chances are it may be the wrong tool for you. I've made that mistake. I've learned from my mistakes. Now I encourage people to do that. So, okay. Let's talk friends. I got a pen friend. I love the pen friend. I think it's a cool device. I just found out something that pissed me off about it. That, with all the goods come the bads, okay? However, I wish I would have written to the company to ask him this question before I bought it. But it's okay. Okay, here it is. Okay, first of all, how many of you have heard of a pen friend or know what they are? Oh, no? Okay. All right, for those of you that don't know what it is, think of a thermometer that's overextended and thicker. Okay? Okay, it's a wireless microphone size, kind of, okay? What it is, basically, it's a little device. It's got four little buttons. Is it four? Let me count them, because I don't want you to yell at me. That's it. It's three, four, five. Okay, five buttons. I'm sorry. Can't count today. That's right. And basically, what this little device does, it has uses little tags, and these little tags allow you to create a label. And you can label whatever you want. And what makes this thing so cool is you can label almost anything. I bought it and I went and I labeled my tools in my garage. I have a great number of router bits and different things. And to try and look for the one that you need and find out that you got the wrong one and you're off by 1 millimeter. When you're using expensive wood and you found out you just screwed up a piece of wood that cost you an arm and a leg, you're like, why? That was because I happen to be a blink. You can't read the damn thing. But now, I have a device that can mark anything. Yes?
You can take a tag. They have three different
sets. Do you have with you?
No.
Shame on you.
I don't own a pen friend, but I help Chris Gray sell it.
You help? You peddle stuff, in other words.
Now look here. I put out $10,000. I want you to know.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you can come around. The pen friend itself comes with a package of labels. I have a package here with two kinds of labels, square labels and little round labels. And you take your little labels and you can, like, she doesn't come in to tell you all about the labels, but I'm going to show you. Ha, ha, ha. That's right. I'm going to turn on this little device here, so let's see what happens when you turn it on. Okay, I want to get to that. That's a mystery problem that you guys should think about. Okay, if you come around the table, there's a microphone over here by you. Okay, in the meantime, I have my cell phone here, and I put a label on my phone, and I'm going to record something on this one. This is Louis' Motorola Q9C phone. See? She said a microphone, and I have a microphone on my mind. Now, let's say there's 25 Motorola QCs, Q9Cs. Okay, right here. There you go. Excuse me, Ron? you thought I did, and I thought I did too, but I came back to it. Okay, right in front of you? Okay. Right there. Okay, now let's see if this thing can talk. Let's see.
This is Louis Weicker, Motorola Q9C phone.
Would you explain how you did that?
Okay, I'm going to let Sheila do that.
All right. I'm Sheila Gunn Cushman, and here I am. I seem to be a representative of Bay Area Digital at the moment. It's amazing how one puts on a hat and doesn't even know what's happened to them.
Yeah, that hat looks good on you, though.
So the pen friend, on one end of it, it's got a ball-shaped speaker-type-looking device. And on the other end, it has a point. And in that point is a magnetic... actually, I'm not sure if it's magnetic or what. It scans the labels. The recordings that are made are actually in the unit themselves. And
it's an optical sensor.
Huh?
It is an optical sensor that picks up the bar,
it's a
sequence on the tag itself.
It is. And if you take a tag and you cut it in half or something, like if you have cans of tuna and you want to save on labels, which incidentally don't cost very much. I think a package of them costs about $3 and something. And when you come to the Top Gun and Associates booth tomorrow, you can ask for pricing. I don't know it off the top of my head. I hope that Chris will have brought a price list. So at the top of the pen friend is a ball-shaped thing. That's what you speak into. The first small round button is the on button. I skipped above the on button is a little light, I think.
Yes, it's a light.
Below it is an up and down kind of arrow thing for volume. And below that
is a mode button.
Is a mode button. And below that, it looks like a jack, but it doesn't do anything. Maybe it's a screw that opens the unit up. I don't know. I never did figure that one out. The bottom button is a record button. If you turn the unit over, there is a long strip, and at the bottom of that strip is a thing you push on to open it up and insert batteries, which incidentally are AAAs? Yeah, AAAs. And I'm trying to find, there is a place on the pen friend, there it is. If you have the buttons facing up, to the left of the buttons is a little rubber cover that if you open it up, there is a USB jack inside and a microphone headphone jack.
And a power connector.
Now, the pen friend just made a noise, and I don't think anybody heard it because it was close to the mic. But it was, that's the off sound.
I'm going off because you didn't use me.
Yeah, exactly. If you leave it on and you don't use it, it goes off. So it also comes with a strap, which Louie has attached, and you can wear it around your neck. If you wanted to, you could be really clever and, like, create a lanyard with beads or whatever. Anyway, so to record, you put a sticker on something, and then you take the point of the sticker and you place it on top of the sticker and hold it there, push record, and when it beeps, hand me one of your labels there. I'll do it.
I'm gonna
do the one on your phone since we've already done it. When you record a label, when you record a label, I got it. Then the recording goes into the pen friend. So when we re-record this label, it's not going to be. It's going to be for that label and not for any other label on any other package. But this brings up another question or another thing. If you record a label for something on your pen friend and you stick it on a can of tuna and then give it to your friend who also has a pen friend, that label is not going to work on his or her pen friend unless he recorded the same thing for that label.
Sheila, you blew my cover. That was my problem.
I'm sorry. I like to do my product demos very thoroughly.
I love it. I'm so glad that she's here because I tell you guys something. I am an engineer. I have a lot of experience working with technology, but this lady is doing a good job describing this thing.
So, play this message.
Yes,
when you record something, you are saying to the pen friend, when you see this label, play this message. Yes.
If you give that particular item to someone else, who's got a pen or pen, it won't work.
Nope,
not unless they record that label with their pen friend.
But I mean, if you give that item, food item, a box of crackers, with your pen friend label that you recorded.
Yes, if you've recorded the label on your pen friend, it does not transfer to their pen friend. There is a way. I was getting there. There is a way. I've never worked with him in this capacity. This is great. I must admit that I do not know how to do this, but you can connect the pen friend up to your computer, and you can transfer information to and from it. To your computer. Yes, I assume that it comes with a USB cable. I assume that you plug the cable in the proper jacks on both ends, and then you plug it into the computer, and the computer recognizes the device. This is basically an overgrown and really cool, and it's an MP3 player on steroids.
There you go. Actually, you know, folks,
it does play MP3s, by the way.
It does play MP3s. It does have that. But what Sheila was talking about, the USB, that was my biggest problem, was that I kept forgetting which one of the pen friends I had used to record something.
Oh.
And then some. I was sharing information with somebody else who has another one, and I totally forgot about that I used my friend's pen friend to label some of this stuff. The cool thing about it was that, like she said, you can use your computer to upload the information, save the library, and bring it down to your other pen friend, and guess what? Now the problem solves.
Yeah. Well, my suggestion would be to, in that case, if you have two pen friends, put one with a strap and one without, or put one with a strap with a bell on it and one without, or something. Label it in some fashion other than a Pen Friend sticker, because you know that would be, or a dot or something. You know, just be clever. However it works for you. What I wanted to tell you is that when you receive your Pen Friend, you in the box are four little stickers.
Oh, that is so cool.
And the manual for the Pen Friend is on those stickers. So if you turn your Pen Friend on and put the point of the Pen Friend near the sticker, it starts to play. Once the thing starts to play, you may remove it from the sticker and it will continue to play. So now I'm going to demo as best I can how to do a recording on the Pen Friend, because I'm using the table and the mic isn't right there, but I'm going to do my best, all right? So I'm going to turn the Pen Friend on.
While she does that, I'm going to tell you guys something. I showed this thing to Sempra Communications. I mean, Sempra Communications, which is an offshoot of Sempra Utilities. They also run SoCal Gas in Southern California. Whose phone is that? Roger? Jeez. Okay. Back at the classes, Roger. Stay in the corner. Okay, now, the cool thing about this is that they are thinking that perhaps they may come up with a way to make this thing available to the visually impaired client who wants to read their gas. Their plan is to make this thing available so that you can read your gas bill. And you put your Pen Friend in it, and it'll reach the information. So that is something that's being worked on.
One of the things that you can do with a Pen Friend is you can label a sheet of paper. And because you can record any length of recording with the Pen Friend, you can put a label on a Social Security letter and literally have somebody read it into the Pen Friend. So, like, you get a label, you get a note from Social Security, you have somebody read it, you put the label on the Pen Friend, you start the recording, you have them read it. So when you put the point of the Pen Friend onto that Social Security letter, it says, "We are writing to change your benefits and you're about to lose all your SSI." Right? It's very helpful. There was a lady with a question.
Yes.
There is a booth. There is a booth in the exhibit hall called Top Gun and Associates. That's my business. Top Gun and Associates is demonstrating the Pen Friend as well as all the other RNIB products. This is an RNIB product that Bay Area Digital sells for $125. Labels are under $5. I don't remember the price. I'm being honest. They're $3 and something, but I don't remember what the something.
Yeah, this one does come with labels. You get a package of
you
labels.
You get a package of labels with it, and I forget how many labels come in a package.
Man, you get three sheets of labels, but I don't know how many there are.
Right, but I mean in the when you buy an extra set of them, I don't know how many there are.
Oh, an extra set comes loaded because you get three sheets of the tiny little labels, you get three sheets of the larger size round labels, and the three sheets of the square labels. Yeah. Absolutely. Is Marie here? No, she's not. Oh, shoot.
You can put the same amount of information using any label, yes. The label sizes and shapes are more for design, and like if you have a larger item and you don't mind putting a large square label on it, then fine. And there are the ones that are small and round, and there are large and round labels. Yes. The small round labels are about the size of a dime. The large round labels are maybe the size of a nickel. The square labels are the same size as the large round, but they're square.
We must clarify something there about the size of a Canadian dime, which is a lot smaller than our dimes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about right. It's...
By the way, folks, as soon as I'm finished here, I'm going to be going over to the front desk. I get up every morning, and because of my injuries to my knee, I must exercise before. Otherwise, I cannot walk. So guess what I'm doing today? We're going over to the fitness center to label that treadmill so that I can use it instead of having to. I know, it's cool. Yeah. You know, that's a good question. That was my first concern, but I'm telling you right now, I've gone through, like a typical engineer, I have 3 toolbox full of tools. I've gone through all of them, and I still have plenty of space left. The compression ratio is real good.
Yeah, I don't know what the bit rate is on the compression, but it records several. It records hundreds of hours of audio. I don't know how much, Christy. I'd have to look at a manual. I'd have to look at the specs. That could have been me, and if I did, I'm sorry. I know that it holds more than that. And
yeah,
if it was me, I apologize. And if it wasn't, I don't know.
Christy, I had heard that same thing before, and I had questions about it. I wrote to the royal people and had asked some questions about that. And never got a satisfactory answer, so I figured the best thing I could do is borrow one of my good friends' pen friend. And I just let it record the news to see how far it would go. So it kept going and going. The old Energizer bunny was going.
Going and going and going.
So
let me do a demo real quick here. I gotta turn it on again, I know.
Hang on.
Wait.
Yeah, you can still use it, but let me answer the lady's question about label clothing with it. Provided it, no, the answer is no, because
you'd
this
have
is
to
an
wash
an
it
adhesive
it
thing,
work.
So when you get it wet, it's going to come right off.
Yeah. Clothing and freezer stuff are the problems with these labels.
However, freezer stuff, we took a label and we stuck it to a frozen box. And the moisture did wreak havoc with it. So we got some packing tape and taped it to it. It worked fine, stayed on there. I could still read through the paper, through the tape.
And the labels are so inexpensive that throwing them away isn't an issue, like with other labeling things. So it's really economical. Yeah, you can put it on a can of tuna and throw it away. It's not a big deal. Okay, so I'm going to turn this on. I push it and hold the on button until it beeps. And then I put the point. I push the record button and hold it and move the pen friend to the label, and it beeps. This is Louie's phone number. Call him for a good time. And I let up.
You're in trouble. My wife's right here. She heard it.
Well, I didn't say your phone number, mind you, because I actually don't know it. And so then I'm not two-handed. Louie, can you hold your phone up by the microphone?
Sure.
Okay. So then I'm going to bring the pen friend to the phone. I'm not touching any buttons. Hold it steady right there. I can't find the label.
No.
I think your finger's on it. Here, do that. There it is. That is the pen friend, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the mode button puts it through its paces. I didn't read the manual. I don't know that. Louis can probably tell you more about that.
One of the modes, hang on a second. First things first. The boss lady just showed up, and she's got some sight. So I'm going to have boss lady, for those of you that wanted to feel what this thing looks like, I'm going to have her take it around. And after that, I will answer the question about the features. Yes.
First Charles, okay. Then the lady over.
Charles, in charge.
Okay, now, when you recorded that comment, the one that was on the label, it was
It doesn't matter. The label was taken off, and a sheet of labels was placed in the back of my Motorola Q9C right under the camera lens. So it's in an area where it's not going to inhibit anything. And she just put the pen fan up to it and recorded a message on it.
It's a sticker. It's somewhat, it's got to do, it scans for color. And I think maybe there's a number on it too, but I. Oh, someone's saying they're microdots.
You know what's cool about this? Think about putting your items through kindergarten, and they get a happy face, and you put a little sticker on them.
Do you have a sheet of labels we could pass around?
I got a sheet of labels that I can have Marie show you guys real quickly. It's going to be in the plastic bag. You can feed them to the plastic bag.
You can put a label directly on a CD. However, it's not. I caution you against that if you're going to use it in a computer, simply because if that ever comes off, it can bung up your machine real good.
Yeah. Can
you re-record? Yes. You can re-record a label, yes. In fact,
Label we used.
One of the, yeah, we recorded that label we used. You can record it as many times as the pen friend is able to read it. No, there is nothing on the label.
All the label has, picture it this way. The label is just one unique piece of information that's got an assigned random number. Okay.
And the pen friend scans and sees that and recognizes that and plays the recording associated with it. That's why when you are recording something, you push the record and bring the point to the label you want recorded. It's making the association at that point.
Thank you.
Yes. Going to the computer and clear out your library of labeled stuff, I am going to go on a limb and say yes, because it looks like it's a very simple little program you can use to delete stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, when you make a new recording associated with a label, the old no longer exists. You've overwritten it. Correct. Correct. And presumably you could delete an old label if you aren't using it. But also, I would also assume... Well, no, I can't assume that. I was going to say that if... Yeah, well, I was going to say that if you use up enough, the pen friend will just record over that, but it wouldn't know that you wouldn't have that label anymore. So, yeah, you would need to go in and delete that at some point.
Now, let me tell you something about this device also. Okay. Because I do contract work in different areas, one of them being the Veterans Administration, we've shown this to some of the vets who are using it now instead of their handy-dandy medical pill identifier or whatever. They take this thing with them to the doctors, and when they get their prescription, the pharmacist sits there and reads the information to them. I have one guy doing that already and loves it. And it's becoming a real cool thing for them to have and be able to depend on and work with.
What you can do with that is if you have recorded a label, put it on the cap of your medicine bottle. And when you put it on the cap of your medicine bottle, then you move the cap from bottle to bottle to bottle of the same kind of medicine, all right?
I didn't even think about that.
Say you have glucophage, and each time you just move the cap from pill to, you know, from box.
They change the bottle.
Yes, they do. But when you get the new expiration date or the new dosage or whatever, you re-record the label. Now, if they actually change the bottle and the cap no longer fits it, then you got to record a new label. But because you have so many multiple labels, it's not an issue.
Also, for those of you that are deaf,
I don't know, infinite.
I don't know.
Hold on. Roger was asking how many labels there are. Right now, apparently, there are 1,000 or so. And that's anecdotal. I don't know the answer to that.
That's a good question, Roger. There's got to be a finite number. But if we're using microcode and they're using a way like the, well, just think of it, Google. I'm waiting for that to happen. That was my very first thing that I thought. So you raise a good point. I don't have an
answer. I suppose that every time you got a new batch of labels, you could scan the sheet with a pen friend and see if it...
For now, we're not the labels that you need. The labels, the one you get with the pen friend is the sample one, and then you get batch A,
there's a sample batch, then A, then B, then C, according to Ron, is it?
David.
Ron. David, okay.
Also, for those of you that are have a certain degree of hearing loss, that use hearing aids that have inductance loop. Somebody ripped into me because I referred to that audio inductance loop as a listening necklace. So anyway, I work with a deaf-blind person who has some residual hearing, and we hooked up the pen friend to it and went in and labeled some of the things she had a problem in her pantry. And then she brought some other stuff she wanted labeled, and she kept wanting to kiss me. I told her if she hadn't eaten fish, I would have let her, but I didn't want to have fish breath all over me. So it's a very powerful device, folks. It's a tool that I find to be very flexible. It increased my independence. Not that I needed help in my garage, but now I can do things and be precise in what I do because I know exactly what tool am I grabbing, what kind of stuff am I using if I'm working in whether it be in the on my lathe or if I'm using my drill press. I know exactly what I'm using because of this device. Yes. Mm-hmm. No.
So I want to have her describe the jewelry. Now, the other thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to put them on my finger and describe my clothing, and then that way she can tell me. And number
23
necklace, or number 23 set,
it goes
great with that
outfit. There you go. There's a lot, there's an enormous unending amount of things you can do with this device. The reason why I wanted to make sure that we cover that at this convention is because I found a great deal of applications for it. I was able to show a bunch of people, including the deaf blind, who have residual hearing, and what they could do with this thing, and found it to be a tool that you guys might be interested in learning about.
I think the only drawback of this pen friend, in my mind, well, except the one that Louis discovered, which is you have to make sure that you record the proper label with the proper pen friend if you have multiple pen friends. But the other drawback is in order to read the labels, you have to have the pen friend with you. And it means that you have to carry it around. It is relatively small, but in my own house, I don't know that I would carry it around everywhere I went. So there are still, well, you've got more money than I do, apparently. But there are still applications for Braille. There are still applications for, you know, put a dot on something to identify it. This is one majorly cool way of labeling things. It opens up the labeling of print. It opens up the labeling of pill bottles. It opens up the labeling of
fitness equipment.
Hangers are a good idea, Christy, but what I would be afraid of is that someone would hang the wrong shirt on the wrong hanger and you'd be messed up for life. You've got to color code your hangers somehow.
But that's how I'm going to know what goes on my
hanger. Ron, you got a question?
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
Lily,
when you saw hook up your computer, how are the files labeled? And I go, well, on my computer, how are the which file I want to
When you plug in, what I've done is I created a folder called PenFriend, and I just put everything in there.
I think the recordings on a PenFriend are all in one folder or file? One file. So it's one continuous MP3 file, presumably indexed somehow.
It's one continuous MP3 file, and if you have something like Studio Studio Recorder,
Sound Forge or Audio.
Yeah, Studio
audio
Recorder is what I use, and I can go and clean out things all the time. Okay, folks, it's 3 o'clock. Our time is up. We're going to be kicked out of this room, so I want to thank all of you for attending. I hope you found this thing to be informative. And
I can be outside for Q&A if people have questions about
Bother Sheila. Don't bother me because I'm handicapped, okay?
I'm going to be all at the booth tomorrow and Saturday. Come and visit if you have questions about the PenFriend and you want to go to the board meeting now.
Bye.
TTFN.